Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Guitar Nerds is sponsored by Reverend Guitars, and we are very happy about that because we really love Reverend. Well-built, affordable, unique, extremely cool, retro with modern sensibilities. Recently, we've had a Jetstream 390 and a Greg Koch Gristlemaster sent to us from Merchant City Music in Glasgow, and we've loved them both. The Jetstream is a gorgeous Reverend original jaggedly shaped retro offset with three specially voiced P90 pickups and a deliciously roasted maple neck. The Gristlemaster is an oversized T-style guitar with the incredible sounding Fishman Tele pickups, a Firebird style ramp, and a tonal palette so broad you'll never need another guitar. Seriously, their range is massive. Choose from a fantastic spread of bolt-ons, set necks, basses, and unique signature models. If you love guitars and you love this podcast, then I'm afraid you're going to need one. Check them out at reverendguitars.com. This week, Guitar Nerds is sponsored by Chox, the Danish power supply wizards who have been specializing in power supplies for effects pedals since 1991. Chox is proud to announce that the modular Future Power Generation range of power supplies is now available everywhere. Chox Future Power Generation range consists of the DC7, which is the main unit, plus the Chox 4 expander kit and the Chox 8 expander kit and the standalone Chox 4 adapter kit. Each of these power supplies offer a groundbreaking 1-inch profile, ultra low noise achieved by multi-stage filtering, 660 milliamps at 9 volts DC in each outlet, 4 selectable voltages, and each product comes with a large selection of flex cables included. Plus, much more, and Chox power supplies are covered by a 5-year worldwide warranty. If you've got a smallish board you'd like to power via an adapter, Chox 4 adapter kit is the way to go. Got a medium-sized pedal board with some power-hungry pedals on it? Well, the DC7 is the answer. The DC7 will also charge your phone via the built-in USB outlet, so you won't miss any important messages from your hungry fans. Got a large pedal board? The DC7 and Chox 4 expander is what you need. Got a huge pedal board and need enough juice to power a small village? Get a DC7, connect it to the Chox 8 expander. Visit Chox at CIOKS.com for more info. Now, back to the show.
Hello and welcome to another spooky episode of the Guitar Nerds Podcast. Ooh, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Matt Knight.
I'm a ghost.
And Jay Cross.
I want to believe.
Yes, exactly. It is the Halloween special episode of the Guitar Nerds Podcast. What does that mean, dear listener? Well, not a lot. Because we're
Halloween is closer to next week's episode than this week's episode.
Is it?
Yeah. Because when's this come out? Wednesday?
Yes.
Or Tuesday? Wednesday's the 28th.
Right. When's Halloween?
The 31st. Okay, no, it's slightly closer to this week's episode. Mm. Very slightly closer.
Well, this is the Halloween special, the 289th episode.
I mean, 289 Halloween-y is a number. Very spooky number.
Spooky number.
Very, very spooky
Ooh,
number.
But yes,
There you go. Yes, welcome. Welcome to the Halloween special. We're going to be talking about... Well, actually, we're not going to be talking about Halloween stuff really in this regular episode at all. We are, however, on our Patreon episode going to be talking about Halloween-y guitars and what is the most Halloween-y effect. So you can come and check that out over on patreon.com/guitar nerds. Here on the regular episode this week, we're going to be... We've got to announce the winner of the pink giveaway. That's, I think... That's what we should do first and foremost before we kick off into anything else. We've had 4 weeks of the pink giveaway. We teamed up with Ernie Ball and Bad Penny Effects, and we're giving away a what are we giving away? A Sterling Cutlass short scale in shell pink, which I think is damn cool. Oh, like single coil in the neck, humbucker in the bridge.
Super HS.
Cool. Yeah, HS proper. That's like, you know, Prince pickup configuration. It's very cool. And then, of course, this Bad Penny Effects, this fuzz that they've made, the Nerd Fuzz, their wooden surrounded pink fascia'd double foot switched fuzz in pink as well, which is incredibly cool. And Bad Penny Effects, not a company we really knew about, especially before they got in touch with me and was like, you know, hey, we could do this custom pedal. Do you think it would be good? But really cool company. I love the fact that they make those, their sort of embossed, like aluminium fronted pedal, probably, just, I don't know, metal topped pedals with the wooden surrounds. I think it's a really cool, interesting individual touch. And of course, they do loads of like custom pedals as well, where they build pedals into old cameras and stuff, which I think we've flicked through in the past.
Yeah, I think it's always got to be... Just going back to their standard casing, so it's got to be difficult, you know, finding, you know, if you're a pedal company, do you go down the route of the standard enclosure, or do you find your own voice in this in this crazy pedal world?
Yeah, because it kind of, you can go two ways with it, can't you? Really, like some people will roll their eyes whatever you do if you make a pedal that looks like an MXR or a Electro Harmonix or something. People will just go, oh god, look at this. Just copying other people. And then if you do something that is, I don't know, like a jigsaw shape where pedals fit into one another, people will go, well, that's just ridiculous. How impractical. You know, so you just can't win.
Nah, yeah. I mean, I don't
you can
know.
Go if... your own way. That's what you should do. Just
go your own way.
Do what feels right, man.
I don't know if you saw, but Andertons are now stocking the VVCO pedals, I think is the name of the company. They basically...
What's VVCO?
They build... fuzz pedals into toy cars. So there's a DeLorean.
Of course there's a DeLorean.
An 89 Boost Mobile.
Yes.
The Dark Knight Distortion. So I think the Boost Mobile is the 80s Batman Batmobile. And I think the Dark Knight is the animated series.
Yeah, I think that's right. And then the best one here, the Attenuator Prime. This is wicked.
I'm so gutted because I had one of the original Optimus Primes when I was a kid, and they're worth so much money now. They're like they were made of metal. I think the more modern ones are made of plastic.
So do they like commission their own builds, or are they cutting them into existing toys?
I actually don't know.
I imagine if they were commissioning their own builds, they'd have to pay. Yeah, you know, there'd be lots of complicated things with the branding going on.
Yeah, because this has got the auto, like I'm just looking at the Attenuator Prime, and this has got the Autobots logo on it, which I don't think they could do if they were building their own. This must be like thrifted toys, like you say.
All I want to do now is watch Transformers.
I was talking about it this week with Maddie, because like I've not seen the movie for like
good.
I don't know, 15 years? I feel like I was at university last time I watched it.
You're talking about the proper movie.
The Orson Welles one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we're not talking about the Shia LaBeouf movie.
Yeah, I was going to say, like...
Oof. I've not seen any of those. Are they
good? No, me neither. No, they're not going to be good.
I've seen the first one. I mean,
it's a bonkers high-budget action movie. I mean, how bad can it be?
I think the fourth one is like one of the top 10 highest-grossing films of all time, which is pretty crazy, yeah.
Yeah, no, I actually don't know anything about any of those movies. I know Shia LaBeouf and Megan Fox are in them, but I don't know anything else. But I absolutely loved the 1989, 1987, whatever it is, the original one with Orson Welles.
There is a Californian champagne. you know, guys know what I'm doing? Yeah, it's an Orson Welles advert that he did when he was in the at the height of his alcoholism. He was drunk when filming the advert, and there are some wonderful outtakes available on YouTube. I use it as kind of a real like a mantra of mine. It is it's like that's my aspiration is to be Orson Welles in that advert.
No, it's all right. Yeah, it's 1986. Orson Welles' last role, in fact. Leonard Nimoy is in this. I don't remember
of
that.
Of course he is. Leonard Nimoy should be in
everything. Leonard Nimoy's Galvatron. Oh, that's
really? Cool. That's pretty good. Yeah. That's very good. That's very good.
I was going to say one bit of news that I don't know if you saw, Jay, but I think we should just quickly talk about this before we get into guitar stuff.
Are you going to shoehorn something else non-guitar-y at the start of this podcast?
Actually, it's very musical related.
Oh, that's good.
Moog announced the Clarivox Centennial, a tribute to the theremin player Clara Rockmore.
I thought about adding this to the regular news because it's just so exciting.
She was the pioneer of the theremin 100 years ago.
Wow.
And they've just released this absolutely incredible looking new theremin, which includes bucket brigade delay, MIDI, USB, all CV adjustable. It looks amazing. Yeah. It sounds amazing. The video they've shot is just incredible, but really one of the sort of real early pioneer of music, and to be a sort of female musician at that point doing something so out there, playing a theremin, the first electronic instrument, I think it's just really, really cool.
Yeah, a little bit interesting. Go on, sorry, Joe.
I was just going to say a little bit of chatter about, whether or not this will change sort of the popular use of the theremin, because it's so usable.
I don't think it will, because to be honest with you, I feel like, the theremin has been out for so long.
I guess
You know, this the Clarivox is a lot more money. More money.
I didn't look at price actually.
Yeah, it looks like it's about 1500 quid for the Clarivox. But don't get me wrong, it looks incredible. One of the problems I've got with the Theramini is it looks like the Starship Enterprise. Actually, that's not a problem that I have with it, because I think that's extremely cool. But that's a problem that a lot of people would have with it. There's no way that Packham would be allowed to have a Theramini in his house. But the Clarivox, with its kind of fabriced front and wood panel sides and gold finished antennas, that's the sort of thing that a lot of people would be allowed to have, like, just sort of out and about. And it looks incredible. It looks truly, truly, truly incredible. I completely missed this. I love it. I think it's amazing.
And a little a slightly scary sounding instrument.
Ah, yes, how very Halloween themed. Wonderful, there we are. The Halloween special episode.
Anyway. That's it, that's the only talk of Halloween.
Until the Patreon, we're even taking Halloween themed questions from the Facebook group.
Have you ever seen a ghost?
In the Patreon. But yes, we need to announce the winner of this giveaway. So this pink giveaway, as I said, Sterling Cutler Short Scale and the Bad Penny Fuzz. We had 4,500 entries across social. I limited social to Instagram and Facebook, because I can't be bothered with Twitter. But so it was across those two platforms, and we picked a winner from the 4,500 entries. The winner has been selected from Instagram, and congratulations to Corbin_Lay. Corbin Lay, which I believe is the chap's name. We'll be in touch over Instagram, and we'll be announcing the winner across all our social. So get back to us and we'll send the guitar and the pedal out to you. Well done and congratulations.
We didn't hear the spinny thing.
No, I decided to abandon. It just seems like a bit of a weird dead air sort of moment, doesn't it? Me going, I'm spinning a wheel. I might as well just do a randomizer before we record and then do it that way. So yes, well done, Corbin Lay. And thank you very much to Bad Penny Effects and to Ernie Ball Music Man for getting involved in this giveaway with us. We're going to be doing some more giveaways very soon, certainly before the end of the year. But anyway, on to some guitar-based stuff. Oh my goodness, we had an entire bunch, like every single Chocks power supply turn up the other day. A chock full of Chocks. And they're absolutely fantastic. In fact, me and Matt are going to be doing a podcast with Paul Chocks from Chocks Power Supplies in a few weeks, talking about his incredible range of power supplies. But my goodness, they do. There's such a substantial range of different power supplies, and they seem to have thought of everything. Obviously, the thing with Chocks Power Supplies that I think separates them from a lot of other power supply companies is the use of RCA connectors.
Yes.
For all of their power pins.
I remember that on the old Carl Martin Big, I think it was called the Big John.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, they're saying that, I'm sure.
The Big John is a Chocks pedal.
Well, I wonder if, no, maybe not. I'm sure it was called Big John. It was called John something. John
Big
power.
John is the name of one of the power supplies.
Yeah, I've just seen. So
right, yeah, there you go.
Maybe I dreamt it up at some point as well.
Who knows? Yeah, I'm not sure. But they do. There's such a massive range. Like what I really like about the Chocks stuff is that they think about pedalboard profiling as well. So as more pedalboards come out or become standardized in the world, they redesign their pedalboards with like slimmer profiles or different things like that to make sure that they can fit under the most popular boards. Obviously, they primarily look towards pedal train and things like that. But you know, but I love the way they work. They've got those, Matt, what are those things called? The little tiny switches?
Dip switches?
Is it dip switches? Yes, that's what they're called. They have the little dip switches on the front.
So that.
Yeah, yes, you've got a point. 1 point to Matt, and he goes into the lead.
Every week's a quiz.
But all their power supply, or you know, sort of the bulk of their power supplies, things like, I love the Chocks 4 because it's tiny. You know, fits on a any of the flat boards, things like Pedal Train Nano, or the Metro range, which are the flat Pedal Train range. And you've got those, you've got two dip switches on each of those controllers. And then, of course, each of those, that gives you four possible orders, you know, of how those two dip switches are, which give you access to a 9, 12, 15, and 18 volt DC, delivering like 660 milliamps at 9 volts. And obviously, it goes down the more volts that you're applying.
And because obviously their newest one, I think, was the DC7.
Yeah, that's like their flagship one.
It's like, I think, is it modular as well? So you can use that one to power one of the smaller ones?
That's right. You can use the DC5 or the DC10, which is their professional link series of power supplies, and you can add those on to make a super big power supply, which is quite usable, I think, because then you could potentially, you know, have one for a smaller board and then take the power supply off and reuse it with something else for a larger board. They do also do like massive things. They do their largest one is called the Chocolate.
I was going to say, I wish we'd stocked this when we were at GAC, because the amount of times that I was doing pedal boards and Jay as well, talking about power supplies, and it's like Voodoo Labs Mondo, it's the only one you can get, and it was absolutely mahoosive.
Yeah,
this looks way better.
16 outlets in 12 isolated sections
can even power 40 volt pedals. I can't even think of a 40 volt pedal, but
it's massive. They've sent us one
on the Black Star. Valve pedals, they're 40 volts, I think, aren't they?
Yes, they may well be.
Yeah.
I mean, you could probably power a Tesla from this. Just drive down the shops and back, you know.
I can't remember which one, and obviously we'll be speaking to Paul Chocks in more detail about his power supplies, but some of them you can charge off of like a phone charger brick, or you could run off of a like a power brick.
Yeah, but I think that's cool. Really cool. I know that the Voodoo Labs ones were doing something similar. You know, sort of, they were a power brick, basically. You can charge them off a phone adapter. Really, really good for like portability and fly rigs and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. A really good backup, and especially good if you're, I don't know, if you're like playing overseas or anything like that, and don't have the correct plug. Very useful. But yeah, just massive range of power supplies all seem really good because they all come with those RCA cables, which are less common. They also all come with a large number of flex cables. Like, I think I've got as many bags of flex cables, you know, as I have power
careful.
Supplies that they've sent
careful.
Me.
I wasn't sure where you're going with that.
No, I just meant they'd sent a lot of flex cables because they have varying lengths, and then they have, you know, varying options, including voltage doublers and things like that. So
voltage, like, I realize this makes me sound like a child, but the idea that you can, if you've got an 18 volt power supply, you can just combine 2 9-volts with one of those cables, and then all of a sudden it will power an 18 volt pedal. That is mind boggling to me. Like, it's just, I just don't see how it works. It's just going like
magic.
We're just turning on two taps, and of course that makes sense. It makes complete sense. But when you look at it, I just like, no, you can't do that. That's not safe. But it is, and it works, and it's great. I love it. I love it.
Yeah. Yes. They are really, really...
I might need to go for a walk, fellas. This talk of power supplies is freaking me out.
Well, it was really convenient, actually, because when I went to Ashdown the other week, they gave me their whole range of ProFX, which are all their, like, 18-volt compressors. And, yeah, I took them at the time, and I was like, I definitely don't have anything that runs 18-volt at home. But
now you're swimming in it. Swimming in chocolate.
Yeah, now I'm literally, there's chocolate everywhere. And I can run 18 volt compressors, which is everything I've always wanted. Now, Matt, you got some new pedals this week.
I did. I got a bunch of exciting stuff. I was actually, thanks to various friends, I have managed.
Who shall not be named.
I managed to acquire the range of signature Tone City pedals from various. Either Anderson's people or otherwise. So there's the.
I didn't even know Tone City were doing signature stuff until you sent it to them.
Yeah, they basically made. They're based off ones they already make. So they do a Danish peat one called the Durple.
What's that based on?
It is based off their kind of light to mid gain overdrive on, which is a pedal called the Mandragora,
right?
Or the Mandragora. Which actually is kind of like, it's a Dane type vibe, I guess, is obviously that sort of light to mid ish gain. But it's quite nice, 'cause it's got a mid control that helps cut through a little bit more. I mean, I've got to say, off the bat, I was like, and I obviously sold loads of them when I used to be at Anderton's, and I was like, I actually sat down and plugged them in, and I was like, these sound really good. Like, really, the Danish Pete one, the Derp one, was like, yeah, I'm into that. This is like all me, I think, just in terms of the sound, everything. I was like, this is great. It's like nice kind of light crunch boost into a sort of mildly pushed amp already. Can get a bit more gainy if you want it to be. Just, really, really musical.
Did the size of the pedal get on your nerves a bit?
Or? It did a little bit, but I put it on the Marcus Deluxe pedal board.
I did see that you did that.
So
they looked great on that.
So I've just got, I was like, if I do that, then I'm sort of touching with my hand. And, it's a bit different than putting it on a pedal, and it's wobbling all over the place because your foot's so big and the pedal's so small, and then you trip and you break your ankle, and that's why you shouldn't use mini pedals on a pedal. Yeah.
Hands are smaller than feet.
Yes. And then I got the Wild Fro, which is the Rabir signature one, which is obviously super high gain.
That's a great name. That's a fantastic name.
Based off,
I assume that's like a kind of really light, transparent overdrive.
It's a clean boost.
Yeah, nice, really clean. In fact, actually what it does is it turns everything down, I assume.
The reverse boost.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
The make quieter.
Make quieterer.
So, based off, I think they're Wildfire distortion, so pretty high gain. It's got a switch that's just got more gain.
I assume he has like broken that switch off.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just turned it down and then he's just broken the switch off just
pushed
in case.
It even
yeah, I mean, his
down.
Name's Rabia, not Morgan. They should have really got that one right from the from the start.
Morgan.
Oh, dear. But yeah, really good. Not my bag as much. Very, very high gain. And if you're used to chugging, then maybe this is probably a bit more your thing. And then finally, the Greg Koch Little Heat, which is based off their, I think, the Sweet Cream Overdrive. It sounds amazing. It sounds really, really good. Great for that kind of, well, I mean, his sort of playing style, that sort of country blues, and it's really sort of touch sensitive. So, you know, you can really dig in, great for lead stuff, but then you can sort of dial it back a little bit for a little bit more rhythm work. So all in all, £45 a pop, I'd say.
Wow.
Really good.
Wow.
Really, really good. They've really actually, like, I remember when I first started at Anthony's and I was like, oh, I'm not so sure about it. It's like the first time I saw Moore, I was like, oh, I'm not so sure about these. And they can definitely, the Tone City ones can definitely be a little bit hit or miss. And I remember that from when I was there. But a few of them really, really stood out. And I've got to say that these are really good. They're really, really good. I would say the Durple, if you want a kind of light gain, that's
yeah, that
definitely
sounds
my
like
favorite,
quite up my street, I think, as well.
That was wicked. I would definitely put that on a pedal board if it was a little bit bigger.
What they need to do is they need to make the Tone City Matt Knight signature, which actually all it is a surround pedals.
For micro-sized pedals.
That stops them being mini pedals. Good. You can plug any of their pedals into it and it turns it into a normal size pedal.
So it looks like a frame or like an outer jigsaw piece of the rest. Oh, wonderful, yeah.
And
Matt, I can't believe you're holding out on us here. Like, I realise we're talking about the signature pieces here. But Tone City do a power supply. Looks wicked.
I was actually going to say, Jay, a little geeky thing here for you. The Little Heat uses 6 milliamps. It barely feels like it should even be powered. It should just be on.
That is, you know, you could power that with a foot pump, I reckon. Just get a get something that you'd use to blow up an airbed, and just while you're playing your, you know, instead of playing your wah, instead of riding your wah when you're rocking out your Jimi Hendrix, just, you know, pump up your footbed.
Get a balloon, and rub it on your hair.
Exactly.
You could power it from your Tesla.
I think they probably produce more than 6 milliamps. I've got to be honest. Mm.
Yeah,
but
maybe.
You know, maybe not. Maybe they're very efficient. I don't know.
But they weren't the only pedals that you picked up. The Tone Cities. You also got something a bit more boutique.
Yes. So on the other side of things, I finally got hold of the Deep Oggin,
the Thorpey Effects
from Thorpey Effects. So the Deep Oggin was their, I believe, one of their first collaborations with Dan Coggins, of former Love Tone pedal designer, and obviously now on board Thorpey full time designing. Help them design their new range of pedals, which we'll talk about in a second. But the Oggin, I think, was NAMM last year, if I remember rightly. And this is based off, I've read a couple of bits, basically like a CE1 type vibe. I think they really love the CE1. You know, it's got a great preamp to it, so it feels really musical. You know, because it almost feels like it's reacting to how hard you're sort of digging in. But the one thing, obviously, with a lot of things like CE1, you've got a chorus mode and a vibrato mode. And basically the vibrato mode is exactly the same, just minus any dry signal. That's all the vibrato actually is. So what I really like about this is if you turn the blend control to maximum, it cuts out all the dry signal and goes into the vibrato mode. So if you're then running it in stereo or something like that, so you can go really, really extreme, but you can also go way more vintage. And because it's got a volume control on it, which I absolutely love, you can actually use it almost like a little bit of a boost. So almost just past zero is unity gain, and then you can actually boost it way up from that. And it sounds great. It's got a real CE1 like vintage chorus vibe to it. Spent loads of time just sort of dialing it in and just couldn't really dial in a bad sound. I even managed to dial in a bit of that sound. What's the start of that Nirvana track? Where it's just like, you can tell it's just like a chorus, like massively dimed, and it's just going. Not that one. It's the one that just starts with like, all you can hear is like the up and down of the sine wave of the chorus. Or maybe it's in a verse or something. I can't remember. I'll have to find it. But there's basically, you can tell it's Kurt Cobain just DS1 into his Electro-Harmonix poly chorus, just cranked. So you can get some pretty wild sounds out of it. Spent some time, even though it's not technically chorus, A-being it with the old DC2. And as much as DC2 still sounds incredible, I thought the Oggin was a little bit more musical. I think that preamp just kind of...
Wow. That is high praise indeed.
Well, the thing is, I'm running it kind of mono. Right. There is wet dry with this one, but I think the DC2, if you run the switch on like one or two, and maybe you're using it in a, you know, in a track,
that's,
or to
that's
fatten
what
up
I do
synths
when
and stuff.
I use the DC on bass. It's one.
But this, I kind of wanted more. I've sort of been lusting after it, like you were saying, Joe, before C1.
I'm still C2. Like finger on the trigger on a CE2.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, CE2W obviously is the modern one, but the organ's really good. Love the preamp in it.
I have to say that is quite exciting. The preamp is, because I was looking at old CE1s, which go for about £250.
Yeah, and I've got one
the price
in
of
our
a deep organ.
I've got one in our office, so when I can finally go back to the office at some point, I'll grab it and do some deeper comparisons, but a little bit more pedalboard friendly than a CE1. I think as well, if I remember rightly, the early CE1s, and I'm sure I remember Thorpey telling me this before, but the early CE1s were a little bit more tuned to keyboards, because I think that was part of the original design. Yeah. And then after the guitar players started using more, I think they actually altered the preamp circuit a little bit.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. I thought they always were sort of designed for keyboards.
No. So they sort of moved it more to a guitar focus, and I think they changed some of the values inside in some of the later ones. So this one feels like a little bit more finely tuned. On that, and then in the box as well, he also included the new Bunker, which is his or should I say Thorpey's take on the Love Tone Brown Sauce, which is a pedal that I haven't fully tried. Obviously the Love pedal stuff is super expensive, but effectively was a take on a Marshall Plexi. But this does some way like wilder stuff. So straight away I kind of dialed in this like amazing sort of amp like Marshall crunch, I guess. But once you start playing around with the texture control, it all goes a bit like weird, but not weird, like not weird like a Fuzz Factory, like not that weird, but it's just, it gives you some more interesting like harmonic content. So I think what it does, I did read somewhere a little bit more deeper into it, but I think it like creates more like harmonic overtones, but they're really like interactive with one another. So if you turn up the drive control, the texture really changes the amount of gain. And then obviously it also adjusts the way the tone sounds. So then you've got a three-way mode selector, which just offers kind of like different, almost like top-end levels. But you can then hit the source button and it bypasses the tone stack completely and basically gives you a little bit of a boost because it's not running through the texture control or the tone control or the mode switch. You get this sort of really cutting sort of like high-gain drive, but much more like a modded Marshall sort of like turned up to 10. It was really, really good to try. I think if you've got like a clean amp and you want more amp like distortion, that's definitely one that sort of felt that, but it didn't feel like that sort of, you know, Eddie Van Halen Brown sound in a box. Yeah. You know, that sort of like real bassy sort of 5150 vibe. This felt much more like a kind of Angus Young AC/DC sort of, you know, cranked plexi sort of vibe.
Did you have like a plexi style pedal on your board or that you're using regularly before the Bunker turned up to compare it to, sort of thing?
Yeah, so I've got the Marvel Effects.
Oh, no, yeah, of course.
Is it Marvel.
Have you got that one?
The
right.
The Ramble Drive?
Yeah, the Ramble Effects Marvel Drive.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I did a bit of ABing with that, and I found this, I found the Thorpey way more musical. Actually, the Marvel Drive found it a bit too bright.
Really, right.
For me. And then I wanted to AB it with my JHS Andy Timmons signature, but it broke.
This episode of Guitar Nerds is brought to you by Shergold Guitars and their latest electric guitar, the Provocateur. Celebrated by Total Guitar Magazine as one of the most refined single cuts on the market, with endlessly satisfying playability and a flawless set of tones, the Shergold Provocateur combines remarkable specification with a retro vibe for a unique and bona fide rock guitar. From the brand that once powered the likes of Joy Division and is now championed by modern guitar pioneers and So I Watch You From Afar and many others, comes a fresh and exciting range of electric guitars. Designed by legendary British guitar luthier Patrick James Eggle and featuring a roasted mahogany neck and a solid mahogany body loaded with USA-made Seymour Duncan pickups, it's easy to see why Guitarist Magazine officially voted the Provocateur one of the best electrics of 2019. You can find your nearest Shergold dealer at shergoldguitars.com. And if you're not in the UK, don't fear. Many UK-based Shergold dealers have super awesome international shipping options to guarantee your Shergold will make it to you in the most far-flung of places. Proudly stand out from the crowd and discover yours today at shergoldguitars.com. Shergold Guitars. Be your own original. Going on now at Guitar Center, the Ernie Ball Great Gear Giveaway, where one lucky winner will win over $50,000 in prizes from Ernie Ball Music Man, SKB, Electro Voice, Dynacord, Pedal Train, Vic Firth, Latin Percussion, Zildjian, Tune Track, Guitar Center, DNA Guitar Gear, DW, Remo, TC Electronic, Blue Microphone, Universal Audio, Ampeg, Orange Amplifiers, JHS Pedals, Korg, Martin Guitars, and Ernie Ball. To enter, find codes inside selected packs of Ernie Ball strings in Guitar Center stores and at guitarcenter.com between now and October 30th. US residents only. Visit ernieball.com/great gear giveaway for full official rules. Ernie Ball presents the Great Gear Giveaway. Going on now, only at Guitar Center.
So I contacted JHS and they've kindly picked it up actually and are fixing it right now.
Oh wow.
For return. So but this one harmonically a little bit different to some of the standard Marshall in a box pedals out there. Definitely got a little bit more sort of tweakability to it. And actually a great way if you've sort of seen the Lovetone pedals, you know, sort of the original English boutique pedal company, go, yeah, I really can't afford the like £1,000 price tag that some of their pedals go for. It's like, I'll just get one of these instead. And it's obviously got all the modern, I guess that's the great thing about revisiting some of these designs, is that you can take, you know, a lot of changes in 20 plus years. You go, yeah, I wish I could do that, or I wish I'd done that. And I think that's exactly what they've done here and made a smaller, more compact version of that. So I look forward to, at one point, I think they did the brown source?
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites.
So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
No, brown the sauce, big the cheese,
the cheese sauce.
Yeah, which was the fuzz and the drive in one. Yeah.
So I wonder if the cheese, what was the other one? The cheese balls?
Cheese balls is the
JHS. That was the JHS one. Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
and we've got one of those somewhere.
Yeah, that was based off of the cheese sauce.
Yes, and then obviously Thorpey came out with the Field Marshal, which is the Mark II version of the big cheese fuzz. Because obviously the original designer, I mean, you can't really get much closer, can you, than the original designer working on the second version of the pedal
Made
like 20 years ago. But that looks really cool. I actually think the Field Marshal, some of the sounds you can get out of that feels like it could be a great alternate take on something like a Fuzz Factory, that sort of crazy sort of modulated upper octave.
Yeah.
Sort of.
That sort of like over squashed, be in a box sort of thing.
And bizarrely enough, one of the pedals I've never owned.
What, the Field Marshal?
No, Fuzz Factory.
Oh, the Fuzz Factory. You've never owned a Fuzz Factory? I've owned a Fuzz Factory.
I know. It's something that I am currently looking to fix. I would like Fuzz Factory.
You need to, you should get a Fuzz Factory. I regret selling my Fuzz Factory, actually. Not that I ever used it, but it was definitely on all over sort of the early Polymath records for the guitar parts. I feel like whenever I'm looking for one of those glitchy fuzzes now, all I ever do is compare it to a Fuzz Factory, which sort of you end up being like, you know, it's not if it's better than a Fuzz Factory, it's about can this pedal sound as good as a Fuzz Factory. I think of them as being the industry standard, which it's just, you know, there are so many fuzzes here. I bought a new big, like a massive bookcase sort of thing, but it's like shelving that runs the entire length of my workshop downstairs, and then it's you know, like little square holes in each of them, so I've labeled each one with an effects type and then put all the effects that we have in each thing. So there's like I've foolishly did modulation as one, and modulation ended up spilling over into three, and I was like, I could have definitely separated this out into like chorus, phaser and other or something like that, but it doesn't matter. But I've got, you know, all of those things now, and fuzz is taking up like four cubby holes. I don't know, I think 60 maybe fuzz pedals. I'm not sure. Yes. There's a lot of fuzz pedals.
I definitely have way more drive pedal, because I was thinking about this this pedal board build that we're going to do in the new year, Joe, and I was like, need to like sort of, you know, trying a bunch of drive pedals, and I was like, God, I need to add some more modulation. I'm like, I really don't have enough delay pedals, no problem, fuzz pedals, no problem. So everything else is just like, it's a bit barren.
Have you got enough dimension pedals to keep going?
No, but I have now got a lot of pink pedals. I could in fact do an entire pink pedal board, I think. I probably could definitely.
That's impressive.
I'm currently wearing a pink sweatshirt and a slightly different pink pair of Adidas tracksuit bottoms. I'm nice. Full. I got seriously into the comfort zone before podcasting, you know, to offset having to spend some time with you guys. And just before we went down, I went downstairs and to grab a drink, and Maddie saw me and she was like, "What on earth are you doing?" but it's fine. I'm just dressed like a marshmallow. It's how I get comfortable in the evening. So I don't know what to tell you.
I think for 2021, I'm going to sort of like fully commit to this Burgundy Mist thing, you know.
Oh, yeah? Just going to get a Burgundy Mist sleeve.
Yeah, I could do. Yeah, why
see
not?
See if you can
get my
a
face
really
tattooed Burgundy Mist.
Yeah, I reckon see if you can get a really irresponsible tattoo artist to mix some metal flake into the ink.
Oh, I wonder if you can get that done. I tell you what, if I can get that done, I'll get that done.
You look like Edward Cullen, just like glittering in the moonlight.
Yes, exactly. Matt, do you still have the... Is there heavy water still on your board? Like, is there a...
No, because you have it.
Oh, do I have the heavy water? Are you sure?
Yes, because we got two and we gave one away.
Yes, I do, yeah.
And the other one we tried at... when we did Gear of the Year, which...
Yeah, that's right.
We're coming round to again. I can't believe it's been...
Oh, my gosh. It's nearly here.
And but if you're not using it, Joe, please send it.
Yeah, was that the last time we were all in the same room?
That's the last time we were all in the same room.
Just for what it's worth, I think it's at Jay's, that one.
I don't think so.
Jay's got a bunch of pedals.
I don't think I've got any Thorpey pedals here.
Jay's also got the Future Factory.
I do have that. I played that the other day. It's wicked.
Cool. You've got the hot tone multi effects as well, I think.
I do. That's there.
Yeah, I was going to compare it the other day to some things, and I was like, oh, I just have the empty box of this.
Yep. Well, I mean, you know, the Guitar Nerds Port Slade division of his swap shop is open for business.
Right,
so, you know,
whenever you're ready. Yes. I should pop around. And Matt, do you have a Thorpey FX committed to one of your pedal boards at the moment?
I started work on the big pedal board, put the Ogin on there, got the Dane on there, which is irreplaceable. It is to me the best drive that I have played and own.
Do you not just use the heavy water side of the Dane then?
Well, the way I have my Dane custom modded. Can't say who did it though. they put two extra jacks on it so that the Dane side, the boost side, and the drive side are now separate. So I can run them in two separate loops and then change the order and turn them on and off individually. So I use the boost side as a make gooderer, and then I have the drive side for when I want the drive.
Very nice.
But yeah, no, I use it all the time. All the time. It's wicked.
Yeah. Yeah. They are fantastic, incredible build quality. Like, you know, they're a top end price point, but you are absolutely getting bang for your buck. Listeners, we thoroughly recommend.
Yeah, and I think just quickly going back to that thing I said earlier about finding your style, finding your voice in terms of a pedal design. I think, you know, they could have gone down the route of a normal chassis, and they've gone something sort of totally different that really works, and now they're sort of instantly recognizable. I think it's great.
Yeah, absolutely, they are fantastiche. Jay Cross, you finally finished a bass you've been working on for a little while.
A little while, Joe, I would say, is being polite to me. I managed to buy kind of the skeleton. More than the skeleton, I'd say the skeleton and, you know, some of the internal organs and a good part of the...
A cadaver.
A little bit more than a cadaver, but let's be honest, not much, of a Fender Mark Hoppus jazz bass. And I looked it up when I bought it, and it was actually 2.5 years ago. So this has been quite an ongoing project. And by project, I, of course, mean I brought it home and put it in a gig bag and put it in the back of the gear room and left it there for a while. And actually, a few weeks ago, I was like, you know what? I'm going to get this sorted out. And I did get it sorted out. And I've now got a working Fender Mark Hoppus jazz bass in surf green. And it's great. It's just absolutely fantastic. I mean, you know, we've talked a lot, and I've talked a lot about how my P bass, I absolutely love it. It's probably, I would say, you know, I don't know how I'd react in these things, and I don't want to make light of people who've gone through them, but it's my like hypothetical, right? If there was a fire, that's what I'd grab, my P bass. You know, I absolutely love it, and I've got no intention of getting rid of it, but. The big problem that I've always had with jazz basses is they don't sound like P basses.
I saw you put that in a post earlier. I was like,
they don't sound like P basses. They sound like jazz basses, which is fine. But I like P basses. And so the thing I like about the Mark Coppers is it's a jazz bass body with a P bass pickup. So it's a reverse P bass pickup.
Which is it also the reverse? Oh, I thought yours was an earlier one. Even though I saw it a little while ago, that obviously didn't go in. So yours is the reverse pickup.
Huh. Oh, wait, no, it's not. You know what? I hadn't even noticed until I've got the two up here. Because they were reversed for a while, weren't they?
They hardly made any of those. It was really on, to be honest, Blink-182 were hardly a band when he had the reverse pickup thing done. I don't think that's true, but okay. It was only done for the it was in that real interim period, because he had, first of all, he had these ones done. They were the first iteration. So the ones that you have, which are surf colors, is Seymour Duncan Quarter Pounder the Right Way Round with a precision based neck, and that was kind of like Enema of the State to Take Off Your Pants and Jacket. But around Take Off Your Pants and Jacket, when they started wearing all black, Fender introduced a white and a black version of that bass.
Oh, I don't remember those at all. This is the only one that I remember.
No, yeah, you could get a white or a black one, both with a black scratch plate. Way more classic, but still with the pickup the right way round. And then towards the end of that run, they reversed the pickup, but I think very few were made. And then he obviously went off and did Plus 44, and that's when the reverse pickup version came out, and that was available in a trans blonde with a torque guard, or you could get it in a trans surf green with a perloid guard. And then I think those two models stayed current into the into sort of, you know, the Blink-182 time. But of course, when Blink-182 came back after that, he started playing Jaguar basses with precision pickups instead, which is what he's using now. But
Well, I tell you what, if he isn't here for bass-related queries, what on earth is he here for? How about that? I tell you what, Joe, I'm very impressed.
But they are great basses, aren't they? Those first ones are wonderful.
It is great. It's great. I really like it. I mean, I actually think the neck will take a little bit of getting used to, because it's nowhere near as thick as my P-bass neck.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's noticeably thinner.
Shallower or narrower?
Both. Okay. Yeah. I've got, I'll lean away from the mic. Yeah. I've got my hands on both of them now. And yeah, I mean, I haven't measured the nut width, but it's considerably thinner. I'll have to do some measurements and see what I come out with. But, it's a very, very different neck shape.
And it is the Duncan Quarter Pounders you've got in there?
Yes, it is. Yeah, the bass lines, which was, sort of sub-brand that they did.
Well, they were called bass lines only when they first came out, which marks that as an older one. And then they eventually realised that logo looks rubbish. And so it does look rubbish.
Yeah,
they removed it and just had it say Seymour Duncan after
that.
So I have those same pickups, but I bought them maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and they just say Seymour Duncan on them now. It's the same pickup set. But
they lost
the bass lines thing.
Yeah, the logo does look pony. So I'm glad they changed that. But yeah, it's great. I really like it. And I plugged it in for the first time, just very briefly. I literally just plugged it in through a, because I mean, I'm not going to plug it into my 8x10, you know, let's be real. So I plugged it into I've got a Mustang GTX 50 here, and I just plugged it into that, and I had a play through a couple of settings, one through the 57 basement sound, the 59 basement sound, which was really cool, a bit too woolly, so you probably would have liked it. And then also I literally just was like, right, I'll just quickly build a bass amp, and I selected the studio preamp, which is just like as dry as possible. And I was like, yeah, cool. I literally didn't need to change the EQs. They were all set at 12 o'clock, and it sounded wicked. It sounded really good.
No tone control on the Hoppus bass.
Why on earth would you need that? It's already set to go. That's the thing about tone controls, is they're set to go, or like slightly less go. You can taper off the go. And, you know, I don't understand why you'd need it. It looks better. Minimalism, bloody lovely. Just get that volume. I mean, I barely need the volume control, let's be honest. Yeah, I only need that when I'm, you know, I don't know, if I haven't got a tuner, which was a lot of the time. Yeah, no, it's wicked. I'm really glad that I've got it. It's cool to have a second bass. Actually, this is the first time I've had a jazz bass in, I don't know, not 10 years. Because the pop punk band that I was in, which broke up nearly 10 years ago, I played a jazz bass almost the whole time. And then maybe 2 years after that, I sold my jazz bass, and that's when I got my P bass. So, yeah, first time I've had a jazz bass in a long time. And yes, it's wicked. It's really cool.
I prefer the way jazz basses sit on you, like, because there's more body mass, which is also why Mark Hoppus went for the jazz bass body shape, just
right.
because there's so much mass on a jazz bass. That's such a big, heavy body.
Yeah.
And he thought that complemented the kind of the big, clangy, middle, heavy, punchy nature of a P bass, which I completely agree with. I actually think it's a lovely combination. That's odd that it kind of took until whenever that bass came out, like 2000. I know that's 20 years ago now, but odd that it took that long to sort of to even become a standard. And I think it's no wonder that bass has had so many iterations since then, because it transcends him. And I think that style, I think, as just being a really usable version of a P bass.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, absolutely. I tell you, the other thing that has really caught me off guard, actually, is because I think I kind of bought into this whole hype that, you know, you shouldn't change bass strings because they sound better once they're bedded in.
They do.
And I think that's absolute rubbish. I had completely forgotten how much I like the sound of new bass strings. Because I haven't changed strings on my P bass for eight. I mean, obviously, I haven't played a gig on it. I mean, when was the last time anyone played a gig on it? It's probably close. I think I played a couple of gigs around this time last year.
Yeah.
And I've not changed the string since then. And yeah, just this I had set up at GAC last week and had a new set of strings put on there. It sounds so good. Those like zingy, poppy, really bright. Oh, it sounds like a guitar. It's wicked.
Well, it sounds like a piano, mate. That's what basses sound like when they got new strings on them.
Oh, I love it. Fantastic.
Yeah. The Newtone strings do like a set of round wounds that are designed to sound like old round wounds.
Do they do a set of round wounds that's designed to sound like new? Because that's what I want.
Well, no, but Ernie Ball have recently introduced flat wound bass strings that are designed to sound like round wound strings.
Oh, that's interesting.
Which is interesting. So you can have like the feel of flats, but the sound of round. I imagine it will be duller. I've got a set and they even do them in a heavy enough gauge that I can put them in the weird tunings that I have.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd want to put it on my 69P bass, and my 69P bass has the same strings on it from when I bought it. From when I bought it 3 years ago. And just around now, those strings are starting to sound perfect.
Really?
So I don't want to.
I mean, obviously, it depends what you're doing, but just it really took me aback how much better it sounded for me. Much better it sounded with the brighter strings. Because actually, I used to change when I was playing regularly. I used to change strings on my bass very regularly because of that. Because I like the sound of it so much.
Right.
I was probably changing strings. I don't know, once every couple of months, probably.
Wow.
I sweat a lot, so they dull down quite quickly.
Does make sense.
Yeah.
Flea changes bass strings every show. I'm sure a lot of players do.
A lot of like sort of funk players, I guess, probably would, because again, it's having that, it's just like a different sound, isn't it? Like a bit more of a pop and a bit more attack from it, which I guess if you're kind of slapping, does make a big difference. Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. Flats are definitely having a resurgence at the moment. I really feel like they are. Like a lot of, in the bass world, that is, I think a lot of bass players are starting to be like, no, this actually sounds fine. You can kind of, I don't know if it's because...
It's because people have been in lockdown for too long and they're starting to experiment in places where they really shouldn't be experimenting. Yeah, just need to calm down. Just go and buy some spicy chilies or something, guys. Like
probably it.
Experiment in the kitchen or in the, you know, don't... Yeah.
Well, there.
Matt Knight, yes. Let's talk about phone apps.
Yes, I really want to talk about this. And I know, Jay, you were like, oh, do we have to? And I was like, yes, because I genuinely think this is a good idea. So I want to talk about an app called Knobs AI, which only has about 200 users. Discovered on Instagram over the weekend. Saw a little sponsored advert for it. And basically someone has gone, you know what's great about Instagram? Following people who take pictures of pedals. You know what's not great about that? You can't really see the settings that they're using. So this guy has basically created an app that is kind of like Instagram for guitar settings, but you take a picture of your guitar pedal and it automatically maps the controls, the settings, and the names of the controls when you take the photo, which I think is just ridiculous. And then you can upload like sound examples and stuff. So it's such a cool way to like share your settings with people. And like, especially for, you know, for me and thinking about the Boss side of things, you know, people are like, oh, how should I set a DS1 or a BD2 and stuff like that? And I'm like, oh, this is really cool app. You can literally take a picture of a guitar pedal and it automatically goes. I did it with the Ogin, and it's just like, oh, the pedal, the knobs are laid out like this and they're set to this like position, and it missed a couple of the names only because of it's quite difficult to read on the Chrome, but you can just go in and manually change it. God. And I'm like, this is wicked. So every time, especially even if you're just like messing around at home, you're like, oh yeah, I found this wicked sound on the fuzz pedal, and I'm like, oh, I'm probably gonna forget it. It's like, don't worry about like getting your marker out and like, you know, writing all over your secondhand clone that you spent £5,000 on. Take a photo of it with Knobs AI, memorizes all the settings for you.
That is absolutely incredible.
I'm just like, this is a genius idea and someone needs to talk about it. And I'm downloading
it right now, Matty, and if this turns out to install some dodgy stuff on my phone, then
we'll see ya.
We're all in the same boat.
But yeah, I thought this was wicked. You can download sound, you can add sound examples on there, you can put notes about the pedal and the settings. And I thought it'd be a great thing to like build a community, even like guitar nerds being on there. And it's like, oh, we've just got this new pedal in. It's like, here are the settings that we've tried for it and stuff. And you can follow people just like Instagram. You can like their posts. You can like their sound settings.
That's really good.
You've got to create an account. I just want to browse. That's frustrating. But it's okay. I trust you, Matty. So I'm gonna go ahead with it.
Yeah, it's I think it's cool. I'm really into it, and I messaged the guy and was like, I think this is a really good idea, and I hope it does really well. And I just wanted to say for everyone listening, it's worth downloading and, you know, getting some feedback on it. I think this guy has got a cool idea and we need to shout about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you work out how to turn down the feedback, if you could take a picture of your settings, let us know. That'd be really useful.
Yeah.
Very good. Right. Well, before we end this week's episode and go over into the Patreon exclusive episode of our Halloween special, where we're going to be talking about Halloween-y effects, Halloween guitars, we're going to talk about nightmare horror stories from working in a guitar shop. And we've got some cool questions about punk rock guitar rigs as well. We're going to go and talk about those. But before we do, we should, at 55 minutes into this podcast, this hour-long podcast, we should try and do some news. News! We've definitely only got time for one piece of news. What's it going to be, Matt and Jay?
I reckon do the solid gold, I reckon.
Yeah, I definitely think let's you know, bit of pedals. Vibrato's a bit spooky.
We've been pretty pedal heavy. We should definitely do this. Solid Gold, a wonderful company that we're very much get behind and think make some fantastic pedals here on the podcast. They've released a new pedal, Matt Knight. Won't tell us about it?
Yes, the new 33 vinyl engine. First of all, as we always say, looks incredible. And Solid Gold Effects, having tried their stuff a little bit more in depth recently, Joe, when you sent me some stuff before, we know that these guys make some incredible sounding bits of kit. And this is a kind of real lo-fi modulator. So think vibrato, think, as they say, you're looking through your grandma's attic, dusting off boxes of memories and junk alike. You come across a box of LPs and 45s, some classics in there with some cheesy country albums. the one thing they all have in common is their sound, the sound of vinyl, the random crackles and pops of a worn-out disc. And that's kind of what you get with this. Seems to be a bit of a trend in the pedal world at the moment. You had things like the Chase Bliss, Cooper FX Generation Loss, a kind of real sort of lo-fi vibe. So you've got speed, flutter, ramp, hiss, blend and level.
This is brilliant.
Yeah, and then you've got sort of a tap tempo or hold slash ramp control.
Oh, yes.
But you can also like make it skip. You've got a little skip control there. You can change the color, the amount of crackle. I think this is really cool. So there's a few people demoing it. I think I saw Stefan from Pedal Zone, and also I can't remember her full name, but Lip State. She's like an amazing sort of ambient sort of guitar player, plays like a jazz master, loads of
amazing
pedals.
Oh, I know what you mean, yeah.
Novella, I think, is the artist name that she goes under. I saw her demo as well, and it's like, it sounds amazing. It's the kind of thing I definitely need on my pedal board that you kind of want with a looper pedal.
Oh, yeah.
Everything runs through that. But yeah, just I think extremely cool. You know, it's nice to have something a bit weird and wonderful, something you might put on your pedal board for a little bit of, a little bit of colour. And
a little zhuzh.
Yeah, the one thing that actually I think is nice about seeing a few more of these, although actually thinking about it now, they're all probably roughly the same price. I remember there was, when I first got into playing guitar, Zvex, that we were talking about earlier, was one of the brands I really got into early on. And they had the Lo-Fi Loop Junkie, which there was their like 10-second looper pedal.
But it degraded as it
But
looped.
Yeah, it kind of basically made everything sound like you just recorded it onto an old vinyl. And I was like, oh, I'm never going to be able to afford that. But I was like 13 and it was like £300. And now I'm looking at this going, oh, that sounds great. It's like, yeah, just like that pedal that I couldn't afford, which, you know, now I'm like, actually, it's the same. They're all the same price.
What pedal was that? Sorry,
the Lo-Fi Loop Junkie.
Okay,
which was basically a Lo-Fi looper. It only looped for like 10 seconds or something.
The thing that I always think about with pedals like this, and I wish I bought one. And I was just looking at it on Reverb, which is why I stopped paying attention to you. Sorry, is the Electro-Harmonix Analogizer.
Yes.
Which I just thought was such a great pedal. Basically, what it did is it took your pedal and made it sound bad. It just took your guitar signal and just went, yeah, I mean, yeah, kind of sounds like it used to, but now it sounds bad. And I'm like, this is great. Absolutely wicked. One of the things that we used to do with it was put it after digital delays so that you could get the kind of precision of a digital delay, but with the like warmth and the kind of like splutteriness and just the analog sounding vibe of an analog delay, but with a digital delay. The EHX Analogizer is just one of those weird pedals that kind of seems to have never really had a place in the world, but it's still current as far as I can tell. I think they're wicked. I might get one of these because it's they're very, very cool.
They are very, very cool. Yeah, I definitely need something like this in my life. I think I'm gonna have to invest in one of these new 33s.
Yeah, I think I posted in the group actually, I think yesterday, Andy Offling, who I've talked about before, sort of ambient guitar player, and he was talking about his sort of setup, and he was using one of those Chase Bliss Cooper sounds. Generation Loss, and I was like, oh man, it's so cool because you can record a loop and then you've got this sort of lo-fi like filter engine that you can like have at the top of it. I was like, that's wicked. So I think I think there might be a good little pedal to invest in.
Yeah absolutely, super cool. Now that is, we're pretty much drawing to the end of this week's free episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. You can, of course, listen to an entire extra episode of Guitar Nerds every week over on our Patreon site, patreon.com/guitarnerds. You can find that in the description of this podcast episode as well. As I said, this week it's our Halloween special, so we're going to be taking some questions from the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitarnerdsforum, all about Halloweeny stuff. Plus, we'll talk about Halloweeny guitars and Halloweeny effects.
Halloweeny.
Now, to become a Patreon supporter, it costs just $1 a month, and you can enjoy the podcast ad-free and early every week. At the $5 tier, you can enjoy an entire extra episode every week, plus access to our entire back catalogue of mini-series. And at the $10 tier, you become an executive producer, and you enjoy all those benefits, plus you get your name sung in a very weird song at the end of each episode. Follow us on all the major social platforms with @GuitarNerds and join us on our Facebook community at facebook.com/groups/GuitarNerdsForum. Thanks very much for tuning in. We'll be back next week with more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Hi.
Spooky ghost.
Oh, and so we must miss the worst and most disgraceful of people who have chosen to contribute to Guitar Nerds Podcast. That's right, it's Paul Drew and Russell, Kristen Abbott and Ty Allen, Yogi the guitarist and Modium Modius. Oh, Carl Harris, Crowd Lifter, and Todd Simons, Ridge Creswell, Joe Hoppard, and Sean Hughes, Michael Howe, Brian Hansen, Shane Ebb, and Jeffrey Wax, Eric Cameron, Samuel Frost, Brian Einsler, Gavin Van der Linden, Jacob McGee and Andy Manley, Scott Hunting and Robert Butterworth, Simon Milbourne, Marcus Howe, Badawaki, Stuart Robson and Neil Newton, Christian Lutterfax, Keith Adams, Michael McVay, Eric File, Andrew Good, Joe Puttick, Meryl Peters, Richard Sunworth, Jack Cutmore, Ken Sayers and Adrian Day, Abe Matthews, Sean Hughes, John Anglin, Rob Gruel, Tucker Abaddon, Ernie Cooper, Ross Edwards, Nate Nagel, Stephen Moore, Aaron Sherman, Dave Lee, Jake Gray, Scott Kennedy, Blake Wyman, Christopher Lawson, Hans Am, Derek Rich, Rob Nordvik, Steve Burkle, JD Schott, Robin Smith, Brad Page, Andy McKenzie, Scott O'Brien, Paul Corrigan, Will Clare, and of course, Moo Grabbit. The scariest bunch of buggers who have ever supported a podcast.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Confidence starts with loving who you are. And when your skin feels nourished and glows on the outside, you naturally radiate confidence from the inside. Give your skin a glow-up with Osea's clinically proven Mega Moisture Duo. This ultra-hydrating body care features two of Osea's best sellers, Undaria Algae Body Oil and Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. These seaweed-powered heroes use skincare-level ingredients normally reserved for your face for results you can see and confidence you can feel. Osea has been making clean, clinically proven seaweed-infused face and body care products for over 28 years. This luxurious skincare is vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Glow from the inside out. Get 10% off your first order with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code GLOW.